Hey everyone, I'm Michael Gorgiulo. Welcome to the latest edition of Listen While You Wait, News 4 New York's podcast about our transit troubles. Now, this is the first podcast we're recording since the official start of our Summer of Hell, the two-month-long repair operation underway at Penn Station. I was actually there for that inaugural Monday morning at Penn. Things seem to be going pretty well. We'll see if that holds up as we get through the summer. Now, today we're going to try and answer this question. Why is Amtrak responsible for fixing problems at Penn Station when most of the people who pass through Penn Station get there on NJ Transit, Long Island Railroad, and the New York City subway system? And just what is Amtrak anyway? Is it a government agency? Is it a private railroad? Well, Amtrak is a for-profit corporation. It is partially subsidized by federal and state taxpayer money, and its mission is to provide intercity train service across the United States. That is the definition. But now to our expert, Noel Bramer from RailPAC. That's the Rail Passenger Association of California and Nevada. He got up early recently to speak to us from the West Coast. No, I've heard Amtrak described as a for-profit, government-subsidized corporation. We had just given the definition. But what are they exactly?
Amtrak was originally planned as a way to help bail out Penn Central, which, see, the Pennsylvania Railroad in particular, you know, you have Penn Station, that's part of the old Pennsy system. The New York Central, which is, you know, the Grand Central Station, those two railroads were the dominant railroads in the United States. They had the most passenger traffic. Pennsylvania Railroad for years was the richest railroad in America, or actually one of the richest corporations in America. And their problems, it started right after World War II. The problems with the American railroading had a lot to do with the decline of freight traffic more than anything else. The demand for coal was going down. That was one of their biggest uses of freight. And this made it difficult, particularly for the railroads of the East Coast, to be able to maintain their railroads, and their service started deteriorating. They wanted to get rid of the passenger trains, they weren't making any, they never made much money on passenger trains. The freight was always the railroad's main interest. But the main factor in wanting to eliminate passenger trains was so they didn't have to maintain the infrastructure to have the high standards that people would want to ride the trains. The way Amtrak was originally created, what brought this on was the bankruptcy of the Penn Central in 1970. When they were trying to reorganize the Penn Central, they basically realized that its biggest problem was it wasn't carrying any substantial freight on what is now called the Northeast Corridor. And the main concern of particularly the Federal Railroad Administration, the FRA, was to turn around and reorganize the Penn Central into a profitable freight railroad. Critical to that was they dumped in 1976 the Northeast Corridor on Amtrak, which went completely against the original plan, which was to keep Amtrak having as little overhead as possible. All of a sudden, it inherited all the overhead for the busiest railroad in the United States, particularly in terms of passenger service. During the Reagan administration, they were able to renamed the Penn Central into Conrail, and without the overhead costs of the NEC, the Conrail started becoming a profitable railroad, which allowed them to sell stock and basically take Conrail off the government's hand and put it back in the private sector.
So it sounds as if Amtrak has had quite the complicated history. Things are still complicated today, particularly in our area with the ownership of Penn Station. How is Amtrak doing all this repair work at Penn? There have been a lot of questions about why they even own Penn Station, since the majority of the trains that run through there come from other operators like New Jersey Transit, the MTA. So can you explain to us how it came to pass that Amtrak controls this crucial transit hub?
That came when they dumped all of the property from the Penn Central. But for Amtrak, the NEC is kind of, 50% of all the Amtrak employees and 50% of the trains are on the NEC, and that's where the management headquarters are. So most of the people that are in charge of Amtrak are very possessive of the NEC. Now, from a business standpoint, the best thing that Amtrak could do is to dump the NEC on somebody else.
Now, we should clarify, when you say NEC, you're referring to the Northeast Corridor. That's the area from Washington up to Boston. And to get back to what you're saying, in operations at Penn Station, Amtrak's actually dwarfed by New Jersey Transit and the MTA.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like commuter trains are not terribly profitable. They are a social good. They're something that needs subsidy. That's cheaper to have people on commuter trains to try to build new roads. But they're the least profitable service around railroads around the world. In fact, Amtrak, by its law when it was created in 1971, was not allowed to operate commuter trains unless they were paid to do it under contract.
So what is the main problem with Amtrak? Is it just the funding?
See, the problem is just that Amtrak is not getting enough income in order to without the government money to even keep the trains running. Recently, there was I think it was in the Record, it was a New Jersey publication published in June 22nd. And he explained that if they lost the long-distance trains, they wouldn't be able to maintain the tracks on the NEC. See, they base a lot of their overhead costs on all the long-distance trains. Without those trains, the Northeast Corridor trains would have to take all of the overhead costs, and that would leave no money to repair. They're just the money that the Trump administration is proposing just to keep the NEC and and some of the short-distance trains in places like California. If they were to do that, they would lose so much revenue from the passenger trains, which is used to cover their overhead costs.
We did ask Amtrak to talk to us for our podcast today. They declined, but a spokesperson said they would be listening, and hopefully they'll be on a future edition of Listen While You Wait. But now we want to hear from a regular Amtrak rider, someone who actually uses Amtrak to commute. She's Katie Lynch. She's from New Jersey. She goes to Northeastern in Boston, and she uses Amtrak to head up to school there. So, Katie, take us through your commute. Where do you start? Where do you end up?
So I'm coming from home. I commute from Bound Brook Station, and I use NJ Transit to get to Newark Penn Station. Once I'm there, I'll take an Amtrak to Boston. Overall, I've had positive experiences with Amtrak. The service has been very good. I get there on time. The seats are comfortable. There's a lot more leg room.
It's my understanding, though, that you recently switched to the bus. If you've had good experiences with Amtrak, why the switch?
I did end up switching to the bus, and that's for cost purposes. Although Amtrak has, you know, better service, more amenities, they charge you a lot for it. It could be minimum $50, but it can rise to $100, $200 based on the holiday, which is really expensive, especially as a college student. I don't want to be paying that much.
As a rider, is there one thing that Amtrak could do to get your business back? What is something they could improve on to make the rider experience better?
I would say a major component would be making it more cost-effective for college students. I do use a student advantage card, so I do get a discount, but I still feel like cost is really expensive. I feel like there should be a higher discount for students. They also have discounts for veterans.
We'll keep a close watch on the progress of Amtrak's work at Penn Station. We'll let you know how it's going. Remember, share your Summer of Agony commuting experience with us using the hashtag TrainPain4NY. And we've also been hearing from you that you want to hear more about the MTA, about our subways and buses. And we're going to do that in our next episode. Until then, I'm Michael Gargiulo. Thanks for joining us on Listen While You Wait.